Welcome to the podcast. It's Greg Dattmeyer, and sitting across from me is the ghostly Jay Hill. And this is the Halloween episode. Jenny, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, too. So, behind the scenes, this has been the first time you and I have sat down and podcasted in 6 months. So,
it's since been at May. Least 6 months.
So, how are you doing? I feel like we need to do some hellos.
I know. I'm good.
Good.
I'm
good.
You know, we're obviously on our Halloween episode, so we're into the new school year. But
I know. We got the lights are dimmed. It's kind of eerie in your office here.
The only thing, I don't have my space heater on because you complain about that every single time. So
it doesn't need to be that hot. It's not hot. It's like 54 degrees out. We're good.
I know.
Halloween episode.
Yes.
I feel like we're already a minute into this thing. We didn't give people the disclaimer that there's really no educational content here.
That's right. And they probably, because we didn't mention this right away, they're probably wondering why you were talking so funny.
Yes. It's not usually how we intro. However, this one is special, so you might want to stick around for this one. So each Halloween, Jenny and I read a short horror story. In the past, I've always scoured the internet looking for different stories that were free for us to use because there is this thing called copyright and public domain. To bypass that this year's story is called The Garden.
And it's
who's
written...
it by? Who's the author of that?
I think you should share who it's by.
Man,
it is by
our very own me. It's
Greg Dattmeyer.
So this is my own story that I crafted for our Halloween special.
So I do have to ask, what was the inspiration for the story?
We were doing a little fifth grade project.
Okay.
They were just writing like a spooky story. So trying to use different elements of writing to cause like suspense, using ellipses and commas and stuff to kind of just set the mood and pauses and so forth without like being like gory by any means. But can we create this feel of eeriness or spookiness just within our writing?
Okay.
And I went a little crazy.
Well, you did, because I'm looking at this. It's like 6 pages long.
That's right, Jen.
So here's my question for you, though. Did you share this with the fifth graders yet?
So they've heard the first 2 pages.
Okay.
Tomorrow I'll read them the rest.
Okay, sounds good. Also, the disclaimer that I have not even seen this yet.
Correct.
I was not allowed to have a copy of it.
There's no spiders in it like last year's.
Thank you.
So
thank you.
Yeah, the right. Fun is always for Jenny not to have it, just so to see the reaction as we read.
And I do have to say, last year I had to be pretty creative because I had to be a male voice and a female voice, and you've assured me that I don't have to do
you
that.
You might
this
have
time.
To be some teenage voices.
Oh, well, so. I have teenagers, so that'll be okay.
Let's give it a try.
All right.
You ready? So here we go. I'm going to start us off. The Garden by Greg Dattmeyer. I'll text you when I'm on my way home, John shouted as he ran out the back door. Turning around, he yells at the window. Plus, you can always track me on the Life 360 app. His voice trails off as he runs down the empty street. Crossing the street to Derek's house, John turned toward home and could hear the faint sound of his mom yelling back, I love you.
In the small town of Brook Hollow, you could practically yell to anyone's house and be heard. There wasn't much traffic or noise, and the traffic that was around always took it easy as they knew the neighborhood was packed full of kids. It was a quiet place, the type of place where kids could meet up with their friends and play without much worry, even after dark. As John was about to knock on his friend Derek's door, the door swung open and Derek came running, trying to startle John. A goofy teenage boy, he came out running with his fingers up to his head as if he were a bull.
Stepping back out of the way, allowing Derek to stumble down the steps, John asks, what should we do tonight? As teenage boys, there wasn't much to do in Brook Hollow. Yes, it's a safe place, but there really isn't much to do for older kids. It's not like the town is big enough for an arcade, movie theater, or jump park. They don't have the things that typically come to mind for kids to do during their teenage years. Well, we could go to the fire pit out in Brook Hollow Woods on the edge of town, Derek suggested, pointing off in the distance. Who knows, there may be other kids meeting up out there as well. Plus, if we go now, it won't be too dark by the time we get there. Seriously? Didn't we just do that a couple months ago? John anxiously responded.
The fire pit in the middle of Brook Hollow Woods was a place kids enjoyed hanging out. John typically enjoyed it there as well. However, it always creeped him out a bit in the fall. It just seemed that the woods had a different feel in late October. John wasn't sure if it was the shorter days, cooler weather, or the lack of leaves on the trees that led to an eerie feeling of those woods. Inside, John knew that he couldn't tell Derek that he didn't want to go. After all, if he did, and Derek went up and met with other friends, he would tell them all that John was afraid to come. So grudgingly, "That could be fun," John said with little emotion. "Wow, don't sound so excited. You're not scared, are you? Or is it the stories that have you worried?" Derek mocked as they left his yard.
They would need to walk down the road past 10 or 12 homes before cutting through Old Man Johnson's yard to get to the woods. He never seemed to mind kids passing through his yard as long as they stayed away from his garden. Almost every kid in Brook Hollow had been told by Johnson himself to stay out of his garden. "Derek, you know those stories aren't true," John scoffed back as he slugged Derek in the shoulder with a quick jab. "Well, you don't know that. There are those kids who seem to vanish every 5 years, and a rumor has it always happens in October when the moon is blood red," Derek replied in a creepy voice. "I don't know. I think those kids just ran away, you know? I do remember something happening when we were younger, but those kids were teenagers, weren't they? A boy and a girl, I think. Who knows, maybe they fell in love and ran off to live somewhere else. Just because they disappear doesn't mean the woods took them or anything bad happened."
John tried to reason with both Derek and himself that yes, some weird things have happened, but no bodies ever showed up and nothing ever seemed out of place. It was as if the people just left on their own accord. As the two boys walked down the street, the moon began to peer over the horizon. A slight fog settled over the outskirts of the town, as it often does during the fall months. Reaching the final house, the one that belonged to Old Man Johnson, the boys leave the sidewalk to cut through his backyard.
"Hey, boys!"
A creaky old voice came from the moonlit backyard. It was Johnson, out working in his garden. "Oh, hi," the boys say, a bit caught off guard. "Is it okay if we cut through here?"
"Yeah, that's fine, as long as you stay out of the garden area. I don't like people snooping around my garden. They stomp my plants and all," Johnson mumbled as he dug two trenches in the garden, throwing a pile of dirt on the side of each one.
"What are you working on anyways?" Derek questions. "Isn't it kind of strange time to be out digging in your garden?"
"Yeah, getting it ready for winter. Fall is the best time to dig up and stir up the soil. Adds air and fertilizer. Know what I mean?"
the old man replied, leaning against his shovel. Derek and John had no idea what the old man was talking about, but figured someone of his age who had been gardening all his life knows best how to tend to a garden. They didn't think twice about the interaction.
"Sounds good. Well, thanks for letting us cut through your yard. Have a good night."
John wanted to be extra certain that Mr. Johnson knew he appreciated the shortcut and that he wouldn't disturb the garden.
Several minutes later, the boys reach the edge of the woods and find the path that goes a half a mile into the woods to the opening. It's dark now. The only light is the moon. The moon shines through the empty tree limbs of the forest that look like outstretched hands reaching for the moon. The air is still and cold. A slight breeze pushes leaves across the ground, and it is quiet and calm, except for the footsteps of the boys and an occasional word between the two.
This path seems longer than the last time we were here," John questions.
"That's just because it's dark now. Don't worry. I know where we're going," Derek confidently proclaims as he marches on. "And if you're scared, don't worry. Remember, those kids who disappeared only did so on blood moon nights." Looking at the moon, John could clearly see that it was bright white and full, very far from a blood moon. As if he even believed those rumors anyways.
"Aha! Here it is!" Derek shouts, running into a small circle clearing in the woods. The clearing was about the size of a school classroom, and it had a fire ring in the middle and a few stacks of wood scattered throughout. Larger logs laid on their sides as seats around the fire ring. The woods were empty. No other kids were around as the boys had hoped.
"Well, no one is here,"
John reluctantly states. Maybe we should just head home. Derek turns and gives a crooked smirk. Go home? No way. We came all this way to go home? I don't think so. I say we start a fire. Going over to one of the wood piles, the boys opened a small metal toolbox that had dry paper and matches. In a matter of minutes, they had a nice warm fire going. The orange and blue flames flickered back and forth against the dark backdrop of the woods. It felt nice to the boys, and John felt a sense of safety in the warmth and glow of the fire.
Crunch! Crackle! Crunch!
John jumps to his feet. What was that?
Shh!
Derek whispers. I bet it is Tommy and his friends trying to scare us. Let's head into the woods and try to scare them before they scare us. The two boys trek slowly into the woods, trying to make no sound, no movement. After several minutes of searching, they are unable to find anyone else in the woods. Fearing going much deeper into the unpathed timber, the boys head back to the safety and comfort of their fire. Walking back into the clearing, kicking sticks and leaves out of his way, Derek shockingly says, What's going on here? I don't know, John mutters as they stare into the darkness where the fire was moments ago. In the middle of the clearing, the fire pit smoldered and sizzled. A thick smoke was filling the air from whatever it was that put the fire out. Darkness was all that filled the opening in the woods.
How could Tommy and his friends have put out the fire that quick? Plus, where would they have gotten water? Derek and John both struggled to figure out what had happened to the fire. Standing in the clearing, the only light now was that of the full moon. The whole world seemed silent. The boys looked up and were caught by the moon. It was changing, shifting, turning into something. Something else. Derek, look at the moon. It's turning red, John whispers. Derek, with a faint quiver in his voice, responds, Yeah, I think we... Hey, wait, no, stop! Ring, 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 ring.
Hi, Martha. It's Susie, John's mom. You haven't heard from the boys, have you? No. In fact, I was just about to call and see if they had checked in with you. They have been gone for a long time, and they know they are supposed to text and check in.
Jenny, you're killing the mom voice.
Thank you.
You're doing great.
I have that down, don't I?
You got that one down.
Grabbing her phone, John's mom, Susie, checks her text. Nothing. She logs into Life 360 app. I have that on my phone, too.
Me too.
It's a good app. And looks on the map to see where John is at. A red dot appears on the map, indicating that he is in the Brook Hollow Woods. Hey, Martha, it looks like they're at the fire pit in the woods behind Old Man Johnson's house. I'll give them a call. Susie hangs up and tries to call John. Nothing. After repeated attempts, Susie decides that she's going to go grab Martha and that the two of them will go check the woods. Maybe the phones are on silent, or the battery has died, she thought to herself as she made the decision. Following the same route down the street as their sons had hours earlier, Martha and Susie approach Mr. Johnson's home, knowing where the path to the woods is when they were young.
Hey, stay out of my garden!
They hear as they walk through Johnson's backyard. Johnson is shoveling dirt back into the two trenches he had been digging early in the night.
Oh, Mr. Johnson, sorry,
Susie and Martha both replied.
Don't worry about it. Just stay out of my garden. I don't want people snooping through my plants. I always stomp them down.
Johnson stares as he smooths over the two piles of dirt. Mr. Johnson? What are you even doing out here this late? Seems like a strange time to be working in the garden, Susie states as she watches him delicately tend to the soil. Johnson continues working in the white moonlight, pushing his garden rake back and forth and smoothing out the garden, erasing any evidence of the two trenches he had been working on earlier in the night.
Just getting the garden ready for winter, you know, adding fertilizer, stuff like that. Can't sleep much on nights like these, you know, Besides, it's peaceful for me to get out here and work in the garden in the moonlight.
Susie, taken back by the oddness of Johnson working in the garden in the dark, simply replied, Whatever works, right? Have a good night.
The moms moved on past Johnson's yard quickly, finding the entrance into the woods. The path was well lit from the full moon, and it didn't take long for them to find the clearing in the woods. Martha and Susie both paused, staring at the clearing and remembering the good times they had had at the fires when they were younger. Look, there, Susie points. This is Derek's phone. He's so forgetful, he must have lost it. Martha grabs the phone and scrolls through recent texts looking for any clues. Nothing out of the ordinary. Susie pulls out her phone. I'm going to try to track John's phone again. It said it was here. As she pulls up the app, the small red dot indicating John's location on the map fades away. Maybe his battery's dead, Susie questions. Yeah, I bet he forgot to charge his phone. He never remembers to do that. Martha starts heading back to the trail out of the woods. You know, old man Johnson said he was out all night. Why don't we go and ask him if he saw the boys? Martha, that is a great idea, Susie says, walking back down the path out of the woods. Heading back towards Mr. Johnson's house, the two couldn't help but be amazed at how white, crisp, and full the full moon was. The stillness of the woods had them captivated. Although they were nervous and anxious about the whereabouts of their boys, they had an odd sense of calm for the situation. Mr. Johnson was still in his garden working when they arrived at his backyard. He was hunched over and looked tired after a long night's work. Slowly lifting his head,
You girls back, huh? Did you girls used to come here, through here, when you were younger? You look familiar.
All right, Mr. Johnson has a little different voice there. Sorry to interrupt you again, sir, and yeah, we did grow up around here and we went to the woods often. Did you happen to see two boys come through here tonight? Susie questions as she approached the garden. Mr. Johnson began walking toward the women as if to prevent them from getting any closer to his precious garden.
I don't want you to stomp on any of my plants or fall in a hole or anything. Plus, the dirt is all freshly moved. No need to get your shoes dirty.
You have a little bit of a southern accent on that one.
He did. He got a little southern drawl. He motioned them to walk with him back to the front yard. Susie, a bit annoyed, asked again, So, did you happen to see two boys come through here tonight? As you worked, you said you were out all night, so you should have seen them, right? She was frustrated with the old man's lack of response. He looked around as if pondering the question, or maybe just exhausted from the hard day and night's work.
See anyone tonight?
A long pause as the old man repeated the question.
Nope. No one has been around all night. Just the two of you. If anyone was here, I certainly would have seen them. Sorry.
Susie, let's head home. I bet that John's phone is dead, and since Derek lost his, that they just decided to go home. I bet you they are at home waiting for us right now. Yeah, you're right. I bet they are at home playing video games at this very moment.
Walking back home, Susie and Martha didn't say much. Standing far in the distance behind them was the darkened silhouette of Mr. Johnson leaning against his shovel after a hard night's work. As they neared their homes, they felt that ever-common October chill. A light breeze brushed against their faces as they peered up at the blood-red moon.
The end.
I knew it was Mr. Johnson all along.
It wasn't Mr. Johnson.
That's my
prediction.
The kids
are at home playing Fortnite.
I hope so.
Oh, Mr. Johnson was a little creepy.
So are you going to do a sequel to that? Like, that was great. I mean,
I don't know
what happened?
There isn't. That's the thing is there's, we don't know. Obviously, there's like some red herrings in there. Like Johnson was digging these two trenches and then he is smoothing out the two trenches. And I don't know if he caught up, but when Martha and Susie are like, hey, did you see these people walk through? And he said, no.
That he didn't see anybody.
Clearly he was having a conversation with them, so why would he do that?
Yep.
I don't know. Maybe he's just forgetful.
Is he a ghost? I mean, I'm going, like, is he a ghost? Were the boys ghosts? Like, you just never know.
We
Greg,
don't know. The suspense.
Great story. Nice work,
all
Judy.
Right. Well, Jenny, that was our Halloween episode. We're going to wrap it up because we've taken enough of people's times.
We have.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.